I was also kicked out for like second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we got some refrigerator delivered today.
A refrigerator? Cool. New one?
New one.
Not used, no eBay, no, just a real new, shiny.
No, it's a fresh, new, sexy. Pleasure. We've been wanting, always, dreaming.
Yeah, because we used to have like the really, like usual small, white, like single person refrigerator. And now we just have like the normal size with like a big deep freezer and just, you know, it's like human height at least. So it's good. I feel like normal people now.
Cool. Do you use a freezer a lot? Because I noticed I don't really know. I don't really use a freezer. I don't know how to use it. I think it is because my mom was like, I think out of ecological reasons or so, she was against freezers. And so we didn't have one when I was young. And I didn't learn how to use it. And now I just don't use freezers.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. The food that comes frozen, it probably isn't as, most probably isn't as good as the fresh stuff. But I guess we use it for, I don't know, we freeze vegetables, pizza, seafood.
Except for ice cream. I use it for ice cream.
And there we go, yeah. Ice cream, and especially in summer, you need ice and leftover birthday cake. That's what the freezer is for.
And like summertime, especially when there's a lot of like a bio trash, you know, organic trash from the vegetable cutoffs, and then you can keep in the freezer and you can use for some other food, like when you make a soup, risotto, but also it's...
You mean the peels from carrots and so on, so to make a broth for...
And also the trash that you don't want to smell and let it rotting in your kitchen, then you can just freeze them until you throw it away.
Or you can just take it out and get rid of it.
Yeah, right. In ideal world.
Yeah, that's a long journey though.
Okay. Do you live on the 10th floor now?
We can see the trash cans from the balcony more or less, but still have to cross the parking lot. It's a whole expedition.
Okay.
And it's just where trash is somewhere that, you know, you're disconnected with your brain too. You just close the door and you never see, you never think about it, right? So it's kind of hard to get there until the point that it's too full, disgusting. You need to really get rid of this, you know, when the smell becomes so potent.
That's the point where you put it in the freezer.
Yeah. Can't do it anymore in the freezer.
Okay. That's disgusting, but but it was beautiful to see this finally human hide machine, the freezing stuff, keep things cold for you. It's, I know it is bad for the environment, but it's nice to have it.
Did you get one with a ice cube dispenser?
No. Nothing fancy will fit in our small, tiny kitchen, because we will have to decide either have nice refrigerator with, you know, there's like a water filter and then ice cubes just fall down when you push the lever or whatever, and then not being able to open the window. Or the other way around. So we decided to open the window.
Yeah, opening a window from time to time is good.
Yeah, you need that in the kitchen.
It was really weird. Like, this is my first time having normal... This is a normal size refrigerator for me. That you can like, see your refrigerator eye to eye on your eye levels without bending down, you know? But... Since I came to Germany, I've been using this half-size mini fridge. So it's all household, like I ever been, including Vege, was always this size. I guess it's cheapest, easy to move up the staircase. Maybe that's the reason. But I've never seen this size refrigerator ever in Korea before. Because even if you live alone, the default size would be the human height size refrigerator, you know? And then there's a double door. And then like plus refrigerator, especially, I mean, exclusively for kimchi. That's a, like a normal thing to have in Korea. My mom has a really big refrigerator with a double door and extra refrigerator for kimchi only.
Okay, why the kimchi only fridge? Why is it? Is it because of the smell or?
No, because we have a lot of kimchi.
Okay, I see. I mean, I have a big jar of kimchi in the fridge, and I don't know.
Yeah, I seem to think
quite sometimes.
Like 250 grams of kimchi they buy from store is so plenty they can share with other people. I don't get it. But in Korea, like you're eating every day for a whole year, right? So whole refrigerator will be filled with different kind of kimchi. But and then you still have the kimchi in your fridge too.
You don't have to buy your year's supply in advance, do you?
No, you are getting so wrong, this culture. It's like you always have to have, like, if you don't have kimchi, it's a big deal. How can you don't have kimchi? It's like you must have. Like you have water at home, you have kimchi at home.
Okay, yeah. It's like if you're out of salt or something.
Exactly. Yeah, it's literally the case. Water and kimchi is like basic supplies. When you go eat out in the restaurants, like as a, how does it, complimentary?
Yeah.
Like once you get, you sit down there, you order food, and they bring you like your cutleries and napkins or whatever, right? And when you go to a Korean restaurant, they will bring you water and kimchi and your cutlery. That's like a basic settings.
Yeah, I also think it's like an interesting like relation to how kimchi was made before, because they probably used to have those really big jars and you like ferment it yourself, right? You don't go to the grocery every day to buy a fresh one. You make a bunch by yourself for the season. You put it in these big jars in your backyard or near your kitchen or something. And probably that kind of like, you know, way of doing it translated into having a big fridge with all your kimchi there set for the next couple months or something.
Exactly. And also because every household makes a kimchi and like making like 100 of them at once. And to prepare the winter, for example, when it's autumn or getting cold, then they would like 100 Chinese, what is this vegetable called? Not Chinese cabbage. Tapa? Kappa?
Napa?
Napa? Napa cabbage, I guess it's the English term. To avoid like a certain like categorizing culture. It's not Chinese cabbage.
It's found everywhere.
It's found everywhere. So this Napa cabbage, maybe you would make 100 of them for one household. And it's just only last few months. You have to make it new for the springtime, you know. Or summer kimchi is another thing, less fermented. But winter kimchi will ferment it like for longer and then last longer. So you would experience every stage of the flavor, the difference. One is a fresh and like a half ripe and fermented, really fermented. Some kimchi lasts for 3 years. So they would used to bury under the ground after putting into this jar. And then every house, because every house is making this, there's like signature taste thing. The flavor is different, you know. Our house style is like this, you know. And then there's a lot of exchange going on between the household, the presenting kimchi to each other, you know. That's why you need so much, and you would always have much because you get a lot from other people too.
Yeah, I get it, and yeah, of course, and I mean, yeah, I get it that it's a way of preserving food, of course, and preserving food is usually done with stuff that you have plenty of, and then you preserve it, and then you have to store it away for winter or something.
I just am surprised when I came to Germany and I had this meal, very like traditional, iconic German food is sauerkraut, right? Mm-hmm. And not many households making it. Mm-hmm. And they don't have a refrigerator only for sauerkraut. Why is that?
That's a good question. It must have disappeared at some point. I mean, when you look at Wilhelm Busch stories, old picture books, German picture books, then everyone in those stories has a big jar of sauerkraut and at their basement where they go down and get every day's portion. But yeah, it must have disappeared at some point. Maybe, I don't know, was too convenient to buy at the supermarket. I also think people don't eat it as much. It's a typical thing, but it only goes with certain foods these days. It's not like it's not a staple where that you eat with everything and every meal.
Mm-hmm. So maybe it needs some sort of innovation in flavor. Maybe you can mix with the chili powder.
Chili sauerkraut.
Because that is a kind of hack, like a lot of Korean students coming to Germany to study. And they, back like a few days back, that, you know, this whole trade of the kimchi wasn't that, fluid.
Does it sound like stop? Something the kimchi trade went down today 3 points.
This is really easy to buy. You can buy this in local shops and you can order from online, but like years back then you had to make yourself. Maybe you won't get the right ingredients here because there's just not many business importing this right ingredient, so you would get the sauerkraut instead and then put the paprika, chili powders, and then make it alternative to kimchi. I tried a few times.
Is it good? Like,
yeah.
Okay. It reminds me of another story. Like with the soy sauce. Do you know Maki?
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that a lot of Vietnamese people who came to Germany and first, when there was no soy sauce at the supermarket, then they used Maggi instead. And yeah,
I heard that
that's similar. It's even based on wheat protein.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the same in Vietnam, but in the Philippines, that's like a really normal condiment to have like on the table, actually.
Like soy sauce or Maggi?
No, Maggi, actually, that Maggi? Kind. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Beside like the salt and the pepper, maybe some like vinegar chili, and then, you know, once in a while, not everywhere, of course, but once in a while, you get like a little Maggi thing with the little red top. Mm-hmm. It's normal to have there as well.
I never tried it. What does it taste like?
No, it is. Yeah, it's similar to soy sauce. But like some weird flavor as well. Some extra flavor.
Yeah, it's similar because it's also salty and savory, but it also has this one herb in it. I have to Google it. What it's called. Lovage? I don't know the pronunciation of it. I just Googled that word.
Lovage. Lovage.
Do you know that?
Never heard of that.
It's a herb. It's called Liebstöckel in German.
Hmm.
Do you use this herb for anything else?
In traditional recipes, probably, but I don't use that. But I have to show you something else that I got.
Yeah, that's the thing. I always thought Maggi was made in the Philippines somehow. Technology is so ubiquitous. I saw it everywhere. But where is it from, actually?
Isn't it from Germany?
Right? Something like that, right? That blows my mind. I had no idea. It felt like the most normal thing to have. I didn't know it was from Germany. So what you got for us, eh?
This is my new kimchi stomper.
Kimchi stomper?
That I got for my birthday, because I don't really make a lot of kimchi, but my mom does. And she said she discovered that this is the best tool to press the kimchi down into the jar.
That's most German thing I've ever
seen. and so she figured that I need one of those two. It's just a stick with a with a flat edge.
If that comes with the jar, sauerkraut dose or something, the ceramic pot, right? That the sauerkraut pot has that.
You do a similar thing, but usually I think maybe bigger for sauerkraut. Yeah.
We don't have that in Korea.
Yeah. I didn't want to say that you have. I'm not saying it's a Korean thing. It's just my mom thinks it's good for making kimchi. How do Koreans make kimchi? How do you? You just push it down with your hand.
Yeah. Or stone, maybe.
Okay. Stone?
Yeah.
But like some tool also, or what? Like what? Just like a rock? No. It must, because like what A, like for like the listening audience, what A brought us today is some sort of stick. And at the end of it, there's like a bell shaped, it's also made out of wood. And the end, there's like a bell shape that's not hollow. So it's kind of, it's like a plunger that's solid.
Well, wood,
I guess. But what do they use in Korea? Because that's what you have to do with kimchi also is.
Yeah,
kind of push it down that helps but seal the flavor.
Or... I can be wrong, but I cannot think of any other tools. Like you can use like a usual kitchen utensil to push it down, right? And then maybe cover with a plastic or something. But I don't know back in the day how they did it. Maybe it's a stone. That's the only thing I can think of. Like in Japanese, the pickled vegetable too. That is a vegetable sunk in the miso, they put a really big rock on top to, you know, like stock it really. So it's like all the liquid is all there and then the vegetables are sunk in the sauce or whatever.
Like they put the rock on top and keep it like that for days or something and just have it.
Yeah, it's always there.
Condense it down. Yeah. Okay.
This fucking hand and rock.
Hand and rock. Yeah.
Yeah, but I know like it gets really messy, I guess, if you use the hand. Every time when I make kimchi, then my hands get really orange because of those chili. And your chopping board gets orange, yellow, red too.
Yeah.
Anyone who ever tried to cut kimchi on their chopping board would know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's quite, you can dye things with it for sure.
Any Tupperware that had kimchi in there would get that color too.
Become red.
Yeah.
What types do you make? Only cabbage or different vegetables also?
Any vegetable basically can turn to be kimchi, I think. But like, this Napa cabbage is the most usual vegetable. And radish, cucumber, like other herby, green, leafy vegetable can be kimchi too. And not for long term, but if you want to eat fresh, almost like salad, you can make kimchi out of tomatoes.
I'm trying to imagine how it would work with tomatoes. I don't know, because you still have to like condense. You probably won't preserve a lot of the shape of the tomatoes.
Yeah, tomato kimchi is more for like more like a salad. You just get the flavor of those like a garlic and chili paste and stuff, but not the it's not fermented, I guess.
Ah, okay.
So kimchi has many different kinds. It doesn't always have to be fermented.
Okay. I thought that was a must. And then you put like lots of chili. Is that a thing that goes like into every kimchi, or is it optional too?
There's a white version, blanc, I guess, without chili.
But then what do you do to that? Instead of adding chili, just vinegar?
No, just salt.
Salt.
Yeah, and then get fermented too. Then there's natural. It's like a sauerkraut. Mm-hmm. You don't put chili.
Yeah, it should be quite similar.
Okay. Yeah. See. And then there's this whole thing about like the probiotics and the super healthy aspect to it as well. This whole fermenting thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it first came out because, yeah, it was weird. This conversation started with refrigerators, and fermenting, I guess, was the proto refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably didn't think like, yeah, we're going to make this thing and it's going to have some great probiotics in it. No, they didn't think that at all, right? It's just to keep it fresh for long term. Exactly. And then eventually they found out that it's supposed to be good for your, for your digestion or something like that, digestive system.
I guess so. Yeah, probably similar process with how people start to eat cheese.
Reminds me of the kefir discussion that we had once. You remember?
Yeah.
You guys talked about kefir.
We talked about kefir one time, and Leon, you got kind of angry, and because you were like, "That it sounds like we were putting it like the kefir was an alien creature, as if it just appeared out of space or something."
But why did I get angry though? I don't remember this at all. Was this on the podcast?
Yeah. Did you get angry? Because we put it in a weird way. I think Hale brought it up, the kefir topic, and you said, "Did you know that?" I don't know. This it was like, in a way that you said, "Did you know that kefir is that nobody knows what kefir is or where it came from or how it emerged or so?" And it had this mysterious air to it, and then.
Yeah, I get impressed by many things very easily. Yeah, I think I remember the conversations that they don't know what exactly it is, but like they know that it's good for your body. And I was very excited. There's a different kind of kefir that that one can grow in the milk, but can grow in the water base as well. And then when you grow them at home, then you will see they're moving a little bit up and down, floating, almost like swimming. Yeah. It was like a pet to me at that time, I remember.
I mean, it is kind of fascinating. I think today they know what it is exactly. I think it should be, I think the interesting part is how people found it, right? Because apparently it just appeared in some Russian goatskin tubes that they used to store milk or something. And randomly from one day to the next, they just had kefir and they didn't know why. And they realized found out that they could cultivate it and nourish it and so on, but they didn't know how to make it. Like you would just put your milk into an old goat skin bottle and hope for the best.
Something out of it. Yeah, that's really weird.
So the beginning of it was kind of mysterious, but I think today it should be, I don't know, if there's a lot of science around kefir.
If it's from the goat skin, right? It's not really vegan, is it? I mean, if it's using the milk, it's not vegan,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, that's already not vegan.
But I thought if it's water-based, it should be vegan. But if it's a start of it, the origin is...
It's a fungus, isn't it? So And mushrooms are usually considered vegan.
Ha. Interesting.
Even though they're not plants.
Yeah. But does the fungus come from that it was in a goat skin? And does that make it less vegan? If it comes from some goat product?
Yummy idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Does it make vegan product X less vegan if someone who made it wore leather boots? Or, I don't know. That's kind of an academic discussion.
I think. Right. This is a more like a daily specialty. Maybe. Exactly. Oh, you're drinking wine. Mm-hmm. Hey, cheers.
Cheers to you.
That's a lot of fermentation as well.
Yes.
There we go. Full circle.